lot of these cultural crimes I've been complaining about can be blamed on the baby boomers. Something else I'm a little tired of hearing about. The baby boomers. Whiny, narcissistic, self-indulgent people with a simple philosophy. Give me that, it's mine! Give me that, it's mine! These people were given everything. Everything was handed to them. And they took it all. Took it all. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And they stayed loaded for 20 years and had a free ride. But now they're staring down the barrel of middle-age burnout. And they don't like it. They don't like it. So they turn self-righteous. And they want to make things hard on younger people. They tell them abstain from sex. Say no to drugs. As for the rock and roll, they sold that for television commercials a long time ago. So they could buy pasta machines and Stairmasters and soybean futures. Soybean futures. They're cold, bloodless people. It's in their slogans, it's in their rhetoric. No pain, no gain. Just do it. Life is short, play hard. Shit happens, deal with it. Get a life. These people went from do your own thing to just say no. They went from love is all you need to whoever winds up with the most toys wins. And they went from cocaine to Rogaine.
George, good old George.
Yeah, he loves the boomers, huh?
I'll tell you, though, that is pretty accurate. That was from back in the 90s, of course, because now they're not middle-aged. Now they're senior citizens, well, for the most part. Anyway, you know, pretty accurate. I tell you, Carlin, there are no comedians like that anymore. At least I haven't heard of any where their political commentary is just as funny as just straight, you know, jokey jokes. You know what I mean? I mean, the guy, I would say half the people loved his political commentary as much as they loved the jokes. You know, because the guy was a very, very brilliant man. But yeah. Hates the baby boomers. Well, that's the generation after his. Most people don't like the generations, the first or, you know, one or two after them. I mean, I really had no problem with Generation Y. You know, now the millennials and Gen Z, a little bit different story. But anyway, speaking of boomers, oh shit, we gotta jump over to Ohio here, folks, because we got a weekended Bernie's type situation happening here.
These two women, 63-year-old Karen Casbaum and 55-year-old Lorene Ferrallo, are now facing gross abuse of a corpse and theft charges. Police say they took 80-year-old Doug Lehman's dead body to a bank drive-thru, withdrawing hundreds of dollars.
Are you crazy? What'd you do that for?
I mean, what the fuck kind of person you gotta be to, I mean, just think about the logistics of this, okay? They live with this guy, and I guess they've done this before. They've, not before, because you can only die once, but they've done it before where they've taken him to the bank, and he sits in the passenger seat, you know, and because he can't sign anything or see anything or do anything, I guess, and they usually let him do it because he gives the okay. I don't know if they had the string on his hand like Bernie and they pulled it so his arm went up, but what kind of a person? You gotta first realize that your roommate, your friend, whatever, is dead. Okay, because they all live together, I guess. He was probably I don't know. He was probably a type of a sugar daddy to these two, I'm sure. These two ugly bitches, my God. But he's 80 years old, you know, give him a break. But, you know, you gotta find the body, process that your roommate is dead, and one of the first things you think of is you're going to load his corpse. They gotta make sure his clothes are all right. They got to put him in the car. They got to carry him out there. They have to drive to the bank, drive and ride with him in the car to the bank, pull up. Can you imagine your adrenaline kicking as soon as you pull up to that window and the chick looks, hi, how you doing? You know, I guess you can get away with it in the drive-thru. I'm sure they pulled all the way to the end, you know, the last lane. But what kind of a person does it take to fucking be able to do this?
Before dropping his body at the Ashtabula County Medical Center and driving off without leaving any identification.
Oh, so then they just dump him at the hospital. Great. They should have just taken him to the morgue.
This is just unconscionable behavior. The fact that he was propped up in the front seat.
Yeah.
To
with sunglasses and a cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
Essentially fool the bank teller, so they could make the withdrawal. And that's what we're alleging took place, and that's how it appears.
The two women lived with him and went back to his house, called the hospital hours later to give information about Doug. Family tells us Karen was his girlfriend. Oh. She was arrested last night. Lorreen was arrested this morning.
So only one of them was his girlfriend. Okay. Gee, that makes it so much better.
The entire situation, as you can imagine, just very upsetting for Doug's family. I spoke to his stepson, who says Doug was a great guy who just didn't want to be alone as he got older. Yeah. I'll have more from him coming up at 5.
Yeah, I understand that. You know, I mean, I love to be alone, but it is kind of frightening, the prospect of, you know, when you get, if I live to be way up there, which I hope I don't. But if I live to be 80, yeah, then it might suck. I mean, you can't do a lot of things by yourself. But I don't know. I wouldn't take in a roommate or whatever just out of fear, I don't think. I'd find some other arrangement. But it sounds like these two just wanted one last little payday because they knew that all of his Social Security and everything was now going to stop. So they do this. This is where we're at in this country. His girlfriend, yeah. I'm sure there was no love involved in this relationship. But still, just to have the nads to fucking do this, man. I mean, what the hell is going on out there? I don't know. You sit there and think about it. Would you do this if you were by yourself? And then you think about, well, would you do it just because someone else agreed with it? I don't see any angle here where this is, except that where you can even rationalize it without being a complete scumbag in life. That's all there is to it. And speaking of complete scumbags, you know, because I can call Boeing a scumbag because corporations are people these days, folks, you know. And even though these people, if people did the things that these corporations did, they'd be in jail forever. And these fuckers just get fined. Nobody ever goes to jail. They do not give a shit about anybody's lives or safety, just the next nickel that they can squeeze out of everybody. Pretty soon, it's going to be like sitting in a sardine can, if it's not already. I haven't been on a plane in a long time, but, you know, from what I see on TV, whenever there's just a picture of people in a plane, like a lot of those body cam videos I watch, people being removed from planes, those geniuses. But I look, and I'm like, look at that seat. My God, even I'd have trouble. I mean, I only weigh 220 pounds, folks. I have a beer belly, okay, but I'm not big and, you know, wide like a Jelly Roll or anything like that. I don't know how that guy, if he ever had to fly commercial or people his size, fit in a fucking plane. I mean, the last time I was on a plane was what? When I went to San Francisco in 2000 and what was it? I think it was 17, somewhere around there. And, of course, for the six-hour flight, I had this woman who weighed about 300 pounds next to me. I mean, spilling over the fucking armrest into my seat. I had to pretty much move my shoulder and everything. And you know what? I really felt bad for her. I really did. I mean, because it's ridiculous. I mean, okay, she's fat and everything, but Jesus Christ, they shouldn't make it to where, you know, a means of travel that pretty much everybody has to take, you know, everybody who can't afford first class or, you know, anything like that. And they got to stuff themselves in there. And it's embarrassing. And I could tell when I sat down, you know, I kind of looked over and she was just kind of looking straight ahead, probably expecting me to say something insulting to her or whatever. And I didn't. It was really uncomfortable. I mean, my arm and my shoulder were killing me. By the time we got to San Francisco, I had to get up a couple times. I did. I felt bad for her because even if you're skinny, it's fucking uncomfortable. And to do this to people, and that's just the tip of the iceberg, because then you get to, we've had another week here of just massive mishaps and failures, and it sounds like all of it could have been prevented, but again, corporate America does not give a fuck about anything but the almighty dollar.
The focus for investigators, that terrifying nosedive off New Zealand that injured dozens.
Yeah, how about that one? The people just flew up and hit the ceiling. Hit the ceiling. Because all the computers failed. Listen to why.
Passengers say the LATAM pilot claimed he suddenly lost control of the Boeing 787 mm-hmm. when the flight data computers went dark. In 2016, the FAA issued an airworthiness directive for the 787, warning that if the flight control computers are not reset every 22 days, days, they could shut themselves down.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, did they reset them or did they not reset them? I mean, the LATAM or whatever fucking airlines, I don't know. Sounds pretty third world to me. But why would you even make a system where you're in a plane and if someone forgets to do this one procedure every 3 weeks that the whole plane could just cut off and die in midair? That doesn't sound right.
Which could result in flight controls that don't respond and a temporary loss of controllability.
Yeah, and slam your ass into the fucking ceiling.
Investigators will look at whether the airplane was completely depowered at one point in the last 3 weeks.
Meanwhile, two months since that midair MAX 9 emergency, sources close to the investigation.
Yeah, that's when the one where the door flew off, as opposed to a couple days ago in Alaska where another nut job decided to try and open the door mid-flight. Between the planes, the company, and the nut jobs on there, you couldn't get me on a fucking plane. I thought I'd want to go on one anyway, but especially now.
Boeing has failed 33 of 89 FAA audits.
Oh, Jesus.
And the hits just keep on coming.
33 out of 89 audits failed. And you're, see, yes, I know it's safer than traveling by car, but I always say this. It's like with shark attacks. It's the way you die up there. That's the frightening part because you got to go hurtling to the ground if it doesn't explode midair, you know, and you've got time to see, to think, to experience all that fucking fear. I couldn't even imagine what those people on 9/11, the images they saw flying past skyscraper after skyscraper only to fucking finally hit one. That must have been absolutely terrifying. You know, it's the way you die. So when you have a situation like this, you can, how the hell the biggest fucking manufacturer on earth fails 33 out of 89 fucking audits? That is just pathetic.
The FAA confirming it identified non-compliance issues in Boeing's manufacturing process control, parts handling and storage, and product control.
Everything, because it's cheaper. You don't need to do that. We'll save an extra penny off each passenger, which is millions, hundreds of millions of pennies a year. And it's okay. We'll be okay. None of us are going to go to jail. They may find the company. You know, the person known as Boeing. Big deal. None of us are going to go to jail.
If we see something that requires us to cease production or pull something down, we'll do that.
Afterwards, you motherfuckers. Nobody is into prevention anymore. They're into cleanup.
Boeing's chief of commercial planes today called on every employee to precisely follow every step of our manufacturing procedures and processes.
Oh, gee, they didn't know to do that before? Like I said, it is such a dangerous fucking industry where if things go wrong up there, you know, not too many people can come and help. Okay, it's just, it's kind of like being a surgeon. I mean, these are very intense moments where you have to follow everything to the letter. To have to be reminded of that just shows you how ridiculous it is.
While in South Carolina, a coroner says former Boeing whistleblower John Barnett took his own life before his upcoming trial.
What was that?
Yeah, the whistleblower took his own life. Well, that's another thing corporations are good at, and that's killing people here and there. I mean, you know it happens. It doesn't just happen in the movies, folks. Okay, this shit happens. If you're dangerous enough and you take on a big enough company with big enough with enough power and resources, yeah, sure, they'll kill you. There's no evidence of that. I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist here. Maybe the guy just felt bad. I mean, he did blow the whistle. But I don't know. Everybody said that he seemed to be in good spirits the day before and the morning of, and wasn't suicidal, so I don't know. But like I said, I'm just speculating here. That is not by any means fact, but I'm just making the point that it could very easily have happened that way.
In 2019, Barnett told NBC News Boeing was putting profits ahead of safety.
Mm-hmm. From day one, it's just all been about schedule and hurry up and just get it done, push the planes out.
Isn't that great? Isn't that a great thing to hear? A great thing to hear. Just push them out, get them out. Who cares if people die?
Statement: Boeing says we are saddened by Mr. Barnett's passing, and our thoughts are with his family and friends.
Mm-hmm. Under intense scrutiny, the company today called on every employee to be on the lookout for safety or quality issues.
Oh, every employee has to be on the lookout. So the stewardesses have to look for these rivets and shit that were loose on the door. And I don't know. what? How about the people whose jobs that is to make sure that that shit is done before it goes into the air do that shit?
All the employees have to look.
The FAA and NTSB investigating yet another incident after a United plane skidded off the taxiway in Houston.
Yeah, this one just skidded off the runway. I don't know if this was a plane or pilot error. That's the thing about this industry. It's everybody. It's widespread. It's from mechanical to executive decisions to pilot incompetence to everything to the passengers. The whole fucking industry is upside down.
24/7, I see you in the grass rolling the trucks en route.
The Boeing 737 MAX 8 traveling from Memphis carrying 166 passengers and crew, landing this morning at George Bush Airport. But as it exited the taxiway, the plane rolled into the grass.
Like the plane was trying to is going a little too fast and just slid off.
Mike Allard filming this video. You can see the plane's nose wheel suspended off the ground.
Wow, look at that. Look at that wing.
It was more scary.
And these fuckers are just entertained by it. Not really, they all could have lost their lives very easily. The fuel in those wings, very flammable. It hits the ground, that thing could fucking blow. And this guy's having a blast, filming it, of course, because that's the most important thing.
United stating passengers were bused to the terminal, adding, "We are thankful for the actions of our crew to deplane all passengers safely."
And they charged them twice as much for each bottle of water.
Tonight, another incident in Los Angeles, where a United flight made an emergency landing due to hydraulics failure.
Hydraulics failure. Okay, that's next.
That flight landing safely, but was towed off the runway. And just yesterday, an alarming video capturing a United plane losing a tire upon takeoff.
Oh, my God.
What the fuck?
Everything is falling apart. Yes, I know there are thousands of planes out there and thousands of flights, but again, the situation, you cannot let this happen. These planes, it's like a bunch of jalopies up there. They're all falling apart. Either that or they're not assembled properly.
United engine fire caused by bubble wrap sucked inside.
Bubble wrap. Okay, I don't know where the bubble wrap came from. Because, there's no bubble wrap at 30,000 feet, so I don't know. Secure the fucking bubble wrap.
After multiple incidents, there are questions about plane safety.
There's no reason for the flying public to have any additional concern. Yeah. If a tire falls off, that's either a materiel failure or a maintenance problem. If bubble wrap gets sucked down the engine of an airplane, then that's the airport's fault.
Oh, okay, so this guy's making excuses as far as it's not United's fault. Well, again, it's industry-wide. From top to bottom, every aspect of it seems to be fucked up.
So no real tie between these three incidents of United.
Okay, well, fine. United, it's more on Boeing's shoulders anyway. So I guess I see his point.
United saying tonight they take, quote, every safety incident seriously and will investigate each of the incidents.
Yeah, again, after the fact.
Occurred this week. And Boeing saying they're providing support to United and to the investigators on the ground.
Oh, of course. Yeah, they got to support each other. They're all in the fucking hot seat. This is just... this is third world bullshit. It's third world bullshit. I just can't believe how many incidents there are now. It's ridiculous. But it is not as ridiculous as the proving once again to be the dumbest town in America, Uvalde, Texas.
These are the dramatic images of the first Uvalde officers entering Robb Elementary, being met with gunfire and retreating, then waiting a total of 77 minutes before breaching the door.
Yeah, those fucking pussies. As soon as they heard the first shot, they turned and fucking hightailed it down the hallway. Okay, and then got their hand sanitizers, and then, collectively took their... But we got to figure this out, man. We got to figure this out. While kids are being shot and bleeding to death inside... And, they did the report. Now on these, I guess this was regarding the first officers on the scene here.
But tonight, a new independent report finding that those officers did nothing wrong, sparking outrage again in Uvalde.
Yeah, you think?
How dare you? How dare you? You were paid by them.
at a packed
I swear to God, if I was one of those parents, man, you know, this dumb fucking asshole sitting up there in his cowboy hat, you know, it always cracks me up when, like, minorities wear cowboy hats, because most of the people who wear cowboy hats hate minorities. But I don't know. This whole town seems to be run by Hispanics, okay? And they seem to be the dumbest Hispanics on earth. Now, I've said this before, again, upon watching all these body cam videos, Hispanic cops are the dumbest cops. I mean, by far. And, whenever I see all these mistakes, it's usually done by Hispanic cops. And I'm not talking the intentional racist ones. I'm talking just dumb shit. You know, just stupid shit. And whether they're misinterpreting people or the way they're handling the scene or whatever. I don't know. But this town run by all these Hispanics, and They don't know their assholes from their fucking elbows.
So meeting retired Detective Jesse Prado, hired by the city to investigate the deadly rampage that killed 19 children and two teachers, detailing multiple failures by law enforcement, but finding that none of those officers violated policy.
But none of them violated.
Thank you for playing. Should we or should we not follow the advice of the galactically stupid?
Yeah, yeah. The whole thing was the procedure. The policy is when there is an active shooter to go right after him and neutralize him. Not treat him as a hostage situation or barricade or whatever. You fucking get in there and you get him, like those guys in Tennessee did. They did the right thing. They got there. He's like, everybody ready? Let's go. And then methodically, you know, like a SWAT team, go through, find him, shoot him, kill him, and that's it. That's what you do. These motherfuckers are stupid pussies, and so are they. And the fucker's trying to cover it up. I mean, how many incidents have we had now where the chief refuses to resign? The mayor says nothing. What was done wrong? This guy with the report. No, everything just went off without a hitch, man. What are you guys talking about? Nothing's wrong here. If I was those parents, I'd fucking want to tear these assholes apart.
There were no indications of wrongdoing in any of his actions. There was no evidence of serious acts of misconduct.
Even saying Acting Chief of Police Mariano Pargas, who resigned weeks after the shooting, should be exonerated.
Yeah, and guess what? The current chief just resigned after this report.
Kim Rubio, whose daughter Lexi was killed, and other families...
They are cowards. He's right.
...demanding the council still take action against the officer.
They were cowards before, during, and after the fact. Still to this day. What is it going, 2 years now or something? And they still can't get it right. They still can't come to a consensus about this shit. Again, dumbest town in America.
Do what's right, terminate them.
Two of the council members went so far as to say they do not accept or agree with the findings of this report, calling it insulting and embarrassing.
Yeah.
The mayor just told me right now, however, they do not plan to make any decisions until everyone can fully digest this report,
right,
and they can have their next council meeting, which is set for next Tuesday.
Right, so keep that wound open, keep the pain going, you know, these poor fucking families, man. They just get slapped in the face at every turn. I mean, they're being treated the opposite of what most victims and families, you know, the treatment they get, the sympathy, the justice, whatever. They're just totally being denied. Short of Sandy Hook, this is probably because, you know, they're not saying that those kids didn't exist, you know, which I hear Aaron Rodgers believes, that dumb, slack-eyed fucking idiot. Every day something comes out with that guy. He's one of those idiots that believes Sandy Hook, those kids never existed, he told a reporter a few years ago, and that they were all actors, that shithead. But anyway, it's not as insulting as that, but it's pretty goddamn insulting. I mean, you take a look at, that's why I'm saying, dumbest town in America. You take a look at the totality of everything, and according to them and all their reports and all their statements and all their excuses and all their lack of action, nothing went wrong that day. Nobody did anything wrong. This is how it, you know, hey, it just went the way it went, man. Wasn't our fault. Oh, my God. That kind of stupidity rivals, you know, the rednecks and people like Marjorie Trailer Trash Cunting Green, who, you know, this was from actually 2 weeks ago. I forgot to play this last week, but this just cracks me up. She's at, I think it was right after Haley lost in South Carolina or whatever, or wherever, Michigan maybe, it was after one of them, and she was still in the race, and they caught Marjorie Taylor Greene after the rally or whatever, and this, I think it was from Europe, a British news agency, I've never heard of them before, in fact, I even forgot the fucking name of them, but they, you know, they start out the interview with normal questions, and then all of a sudden the chick springs on her about conspiracy theories. Listen to her reaction.
Do you think President Trump, Mr. Trump, is closer to picking his VP, and should you be on that list?
Oh, you know, that's the question everyone asks, and no, I don't think Nikki Haley should be on the list, but of course President Trump will choose who he wants for VP.
Would you like to be on that list?
He's got a long list. I support President Trump in any way he'd ask me, but I can assure you it won't be Nikki Haley.
And can you tell me why so many people that support Donald Trump love conspiracy theories, including yourself? He seems to attract...
And that is a legitimate question.
Lots of conspiracy theorists.
Well, let me tell you, you're a conspiracy theorist.
Okay, right off the bat, this dumb bitch. Let me tell you, you're a conspiracy theorist. She doesn't even know this woman, okay? But she's a conspiracy theorist because she's part of the media, I guess. I mean, you may disagree with the way media reports things, or if they leave out certain things, whatever spin they put on it, but unless you come up with an actual conspiracy theory, the media outlet itself, or especially an individual reporter, is not a conspiracy theorist. However, you are, with your 9/11 was an inside job, and what this lady's about to ask her about the Jewish space lasers.
And the left and the media spreads more conspiracy theories. Mm. We like the truth. We like supporting our Constitution, our freedoms, and America first. So.
Shut that cunt's mouth or I'll come over there and fuck start her head.
Yeah, they love the truth. You know, that's the truth. So let's hear now. She springs it on her.
About Jewish space lasers. Tell us about Jewish space lasers.
No, why don't you go talk about Jewish space lasers? And really, why don't you fuck off?
Oh.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
Well, you're plenty fucking stupid. I'll give you that.
Yeah, because you know what? You're the one who said it, number one, shithead. You know, she's trying to outrun this past of hers, and she's never going to do it. Okay, this is like as pathetic of an attempt as OJ tried to make after the merger. She said that. She said she believed that wildfires were caused by Jewish space lasers. Okay, so when somebody brings it up to her, brings up her own stupidity to her, she's like, oh, why don't you talk about that? And you fuck off. Because she can't handle how stupid she is. Every time someone asks her something like that, she is confronted with the fact that fundamentally she's a fucking idiot. Doesn't even try to defend it. Fuck off. Yeah, they should fuck off for bringing up something you said and you believe. Huh? That's, what is that, dirty pool or something like that? You said it. Goddamn moron. We believe in the truth. Stolen election. Yeah, you believe in the truth. That's why you sent all the fake electors there, right? You believe in the truth. That's why Trump lies every 3 seconds of his existence, because you believe in the truth. So anyway, what do we got next here? Oh yeah, hold on, a Skype call coming in. Donald J. Trump, okay. At least this will be clear, it won't sound like it's on the phone. Hold on a second. Yeah, you're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Potentium, this is your favorite president, Teflon Don, calling.
Teflon Don, Trump, is this really you?
That's right, pal. I'm calling in to tell you what a communist, Marxist piece of vermin you are.
Oh, okay. Well, let me tell you something, pal. I've been wanting to do this for many years to finally get your fat ass in the hot seat. So,
you are part of the swamp, Sleepy Joe. Everyone knows it. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. And you hate America.
Okay. Well, yeah. Sleepy Joe. I mean, my name is Joe. Okay, but I mean, you're what are you running out of eighth grade fucking insults or something like that? You've already used that one ad nauseum, stupid ass.
What a disgrace you are! So disrespectful. You know what your problem is?
I'm disrespectful. Coming from you, I'll take that as a compliment. Okay, yeah. What's my problem?
You're a narcissist.
say what?
That's right. You're a narcissist with a cottage cheese butt. Weird orange skin and crazy hair, and you always lie. You lie like a rug.
Boy, if that isn't the pot calling the kettle black.
Hey, man, actually, you know what? You're making me fucking laugh here. You know, I don't know. That's a real shock to me that you would say something like that, because you're such a good projectionist that you should be in the fucking union, for Christ's sake. Anyway, what I always wanted to ask you is, how much do you laugh out loud every day as you dupe your cultist rubes into not only thinking that you're one of them, but to send you money at your beck and call for anything? How do you feel about that?
Listen to me. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Listen to me.
Yeah.
Those dumb rednecks are my bread and butter, okay? Okay. Without those cousin kissers, I would have never became president. Are you telling me you wouldn't do the same thing? Give me a break because I'm so smart and they're so dumb. That's right. My cultists love me more than Jesus.
Okay. Well, hold on. I agree, actually, with all that. And it's very refreshing to hear you finally admit what you're doing here. I mean, I know you're an idiot too, but the way you've cultivated and played these morons, and they're not all rednecks, you know, but the way you've cultivated all these morons into becoming your own little personal army here that go as far as to say they want you to be a dictator. We'll get that to that a little later in the show, but thank you for admitting what we've all known for years, you know, about those idiots.
They'll do anything I say, and they should, because, yeah, as everyone knows, not only do I have a huge brain, but those hillbillies have none whatsoever.
Okay, well, I agree with you there, but how do you do it? How do you not only completely dupe a huge faction of these idiots, but lie to them so much? How do you keep your sanity being such a lying hypocrite? I wouldn't be able to keep it straight. I mean, how do they not see that all you care about is you? Because we both know that's true.
Are you kidding? They see what I tell them to see. They think how I tell them to think. And they love every inch of me, as it should be.
Yeah. Okay. Again, at least we're finally hearing the truth here. Okay, so let me ask you, how did you get this way? Because I'm really amazed by it. Tell me the story of how you got to be this type of idiot.
Well, I was given everything in life, money, cars, the best schools, yeah, that my father greased me into. And then he gave me a small loan of $1 million, which I used to build an empire.
Small.
Before I stole the rest of it from my siblings, except for that weakling brother of mine, Fred, who drank himself to death, but nobody cares about him.
Oh.
But then after ruining a slew of businesses, scamming charities, stiffing contractors, and running 3 casinos into the ground, I owed so much to so many people, they were forced to bail me out. Then I started the grift all over again. But who knew I would find a huge faction of dumb chucks that would hang on my every word and make me president? Yeah. I mean, you would do the same thing. Anybody would.
No. I agree with most of that statement. Hardly anyone would have the balls and audacity to not only do this to the dumbest of our population, but try and destroy the country at the same time. I mean, you know, you want to be a dictator, and everyone knows it. That's why you fucking compliment them all the time. You're an ignorant asshole, and I can't believe the power that you had and you're gonna have again.
Again, so disrespectful.
Yeah, well,
I hate name calling and bullying. But let me say this: there's nothing wrong with dictators.
Oh.
Putin is a strong, handsome man who rules with an iron fist. I'm in love with Kim Jong-un and his great leadership as he starves his people. And I believe I should have all of these powers because I'm a genius, patriotic genius. Mm. You, however, are a loser.
Yeah, a patriotic genius. I would say anyone who does all that is the loser. But, of course, you don't see it that way because you have the smarts of a fucking curtain tack, the temperament of a petulant child, and the ego the size of the Grand Canyon, which it seems like will never be fed enough. Never.
Wrong.
But
let's talk about the Oscars. Oh. Oscars so boring.
Okay.
And Jimmy Kimmel is a jerk. He's not funny, never has been. And late night is failing.
All right, listen, with your fucking... try and stay focused here, okay, you scatterbrain, because I don't have that much time left here with your pathetic ass. The show can only be so long. I mean, I know you're a big land here, as far as a guest, but I don't know. After you serve your second term, will you finally leave office and disappear? Would you promise me that? Please do that. Well, will you do that?
Well, why would I do that? My cult wants a dictator, so why shouldn't it be me? I will be the greatest dictator in the history of dictators. Uh-huh. Grab them by the, you know, will be like child's play compared to what I do with this country that I love so much.
You love so much. All right, listen, I've had enough. Thank you for calling in, and I hope you call in again from time to time to discuss, you know, whatever between now and the election. And now that we got some of the foundational questions out of the way, then we'll just be, I'm just going to be taking shots at you from here on in. So, you know,
I'm not finished.
Oh,
how about what's going on with Obama? Can you believe that Jungle Bunny is still president? I mean, how does that happen? Nobody knows.
Jungle Bunny, Obama is not president, you tool. It's Biden. And I know you like to say that's a joke and everything. You just slipped again. That ain't no joke. You think he's fucking president. So anyway, on that note, I'm going to let you go. But I, like I said, I look forward to talking to you a few times between now and the election, which I think you're going to win, unfortunately. But I hope to have interesting conversations with you in the future, Your Eminence.
Okay, well, the Potentium podcast sucks. You are a loser and a fag, and I can't wait to call in again and say that over and over and over again, because that's how I make it true. Okay?
Yeah.
Now screw you and make America great again.
Okay. Then he hung up. All right. There he goes. Donald Trump, ladies and gentlemen. you know, kind of a, you know, I was drunk. Half-assed attempt I found this AI program. So I've discovered this now. And, you know, I'll tell you, this app that I'm using, so many celebrity voices. There's Biden. There's all kinds of them. So I think I'm going to be having a lot of fun with this in the future. But, yeah, can't wait to hear the exchanges between me and Trump between now and the election. So there you go. And I'll tell you, you know, he called me a fag. He called Obama a jungle bunny. You know, cousin kids. Wait, we'll just call him, you know, we had Dirty Bernie, and now we got Dirty Donald, huh? So I can't wait for Dirty Donald to call in again. All right, let's get to the actual idiot now, because he's even funnier in real life.
Tonight, with the Monday deadline fast approaching, Donald Trump posting a $91.6 million bond while he appeals E. Jean Carroll's victory in her defamation case. Trump securing that money from the Virginia-based federal insurance company, guaranteeing the bond with assets, including cash. But it's
because his buddy runs the company, of course.
Unclear how much. Carroll will not get the money now. It will be held by court while Trump pursues his appeal.
I just
Okay. Well, you know what? First of all, she's going to get the money because he's going to lose the appeal. But does it? Okay. I can't believe I'm saying this. I can. I can and I can't. But he did it again. Okay. So let's review. Okay. First, he defames her. He gets found guilty of defamation. You know, $5 million. Okay. For saying the things he says. He doesn't know her. Made up story. Blah, blah, blah. So they fine him $5 million. Within 24 hours, he goes and he does it again and basically says the exact same shit, you know, and so now she sues him again. And the jury this time is like, OK, well, $5 million last time. Obviously, he didn't learn his lesson because it didn't even take a day for him to come out and say the exact same shit. So now 88 million. How's that? OK, well, guess what? Within 24 hours of posting this bond, he did it again.
Yesterday, $91 million bond, $91 million on a fake story, totally made up story. Think of it, $91 million.
Yeah.
I could say things about what it would cost normally. $91 million, based on false accusations made about me by a woman that I knew nothing about, never heard of. I know nothing about her. She wrote a book. She said things. And when I denied it, I said, it's so crazy, it's false. I got sued for defamation.
You stood, but why?
Yeah, so you do it again. You just did the exact... He just explained how he got sued while he's doing the same things that he got sued for twice. This will be now three times. And if they go up, I mean, what, they went from 5 to 88? So what are they going to do? 88 to what? I'm guessing 200 million, maybe. I mean, maybe even more, because obviously he cannot help himself. He does not learn lessons, this guy. Okay, he thinks that just bashing his head against the wall long enough will do the job. And I don't know, a lot of the times it does work out for him, but not in this case. See, he's going to get away with everything else. Okay, but he's going to have to pay her, and he's going to have to pay the state of New York, and that's looking like it's going to cost upwards, of almost $1 billion by the time he's done. Because I wouldn't be surprised if he defamed her for a fourth time after they fine him again, and there's nothing he can do about that as president. I mean, he might be able to delay paying it, and he'll probably die before he has to, because again, he gets away with everything. But how stupid is this motherfucker? I mean, how fucking stupid is this guy?
And it's only a fraction of the civil penalties he's been ordered to pay. He was fined $154 million in his civil fraud trial and will have to put a separate bond while he pursues that appeal, too. Oh, as Trump faces four separate criminal
trials. And why does he keep asking for delays and all this stuff? He's got billions and billions of dollars. He's just really rich. I'm really rich, really rich. He seems to be having trouble coming up with cash on his own for all this stuff. I know his lawyer says he's got plenty of cash, but meanwhile, his friend at the insurance company's got to bail him out. He's asking for delays. Where's all the cash? Because everybody knows he exaggerates everything. So whatever he says he's worth, cut that probably down to like 1/10.
He's already used $50 million worth of donations to his political committees to pay his lawyers.
And that's the funniest part. They keep shelling out tens of millions of dollars because this guy is so stupid. He has taken total control. There is no more Republican Party, folks. This is the Trump Party. This is the MAGA Party. Okay, as we're going to get to in a minute, he has installed his daughter-in-law as the RNC chair now. It's a complete takeover. This is... How do these Republicans, how could they sit there, the ones that aren't retiring, that is, sit there and go along with this? Unless they're sycophants like him, how do the ones who aren't go along with this?
And tonight, new questions about whether the Republican National Committee will chip in, too. Today, the RNC installed...
Oh, with her in charge? Yeah, Fredo's wife? They'll give every penny.
Trump's daughter-in-law, Lara Trump, as vice chair.
Yeah.
We have one goal.
Vice chair? Okay.
On November 5th. Is to win,
yeah.
And as my father-in-law says, big league.
RNC official proposing a rule to block the committee from paying Trump's legal bills, but it didn't get enough votes.
Mm-hmm.
Today, Lara Trump saying this.
They want to give them the money. All the people that complain how much the cost of eggs are and gas and everything, they buy $300 sneakers. They send him a tune of $50 million between all of them for all this shit. I mean, what the dumbest fucking group of people I've ever seen walking this nation.
We are going to make sure that every single penny of every dollar raised goes towards one goal, which is winning.
Yeah.
RNC members are not ruling out the possibility of using donations to pay for Donald Trump's legal fees.
Well, why would they? All those dumb fucking rubes will gladly give it over. Money that they claim they don't have. They'll do it because they want a dictator and they want him to be it.
It is something they have done in the past when the former president left the White House.
So there you go. And then, and again, like I said, the way he gets away with everything. Well, now he got a big gift yesterday in Georgia. From the judge who has dismissed a half a dozen counts from his trial. I mean, the racketeering one is still there, and he hasn't dismissed the case yet. This Fannie Willis thing should come down any minute now. I'm sure I'll have to make an edit about it, but that dumb bitch, biggest case in America's history practically, and she puts it in jeopardy because she can't keep her fucking legs together. Stupid idiot. But anyway... dismissed the part that when he called Raffensperger and said to find the 11,000 votes. Now, just listen to why this was dismissed.
Tonight, all eyes on one judge in Georgia who's expected to rule this week on whether Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis should be removed from Donald Trump's election interference case. But today, the judge handing down a surprise decision and a setback for prosecutors, throwing out six criminal counts against the former president and some of his co-defendants.
Yeah, when I heard which ones,
Hey, what the hell is this?
Yeah, because I'm like, why? He obviously did that on tape, so let's hear why. You know what the answer is.
One of those counts involves Trump's phone call to Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, urging him to find the votes Trump needed to win. Prosecutors seized on that call to charge Trump with soliciting a public official to violate his oath of office.
Yeah.
But today, Judge Scott McAfee ruled they failed to include sufficient detail and did not give the defendants enough information to prepare their defenses intelligently.
See, so in other words, they fucked up again. They fucked up. They have... You see? Democrats, liberals, whatever you want to call it. Their hearts are in the right place. and they execute their plans with the talent and the intelligence of the three fucking stooges. First of all, you shouldn't have taken this long to bring these cases forth, because now it looks like he's going to be able to run off the clock on just about all of them. So good job there. You know, I know it takes a while to prepare a case and blah, 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 but when you see what's at stake here, and that all your months and years now of hard work and research and dedication and all that is going to go right down the toilet because you either waited too long or you weren't specific enough in your fucking briefs or whatever. You're a bunch of goddamn idiots, and that's why you can't beat this fucking troop of sycophants. This is not the election of 2016 again. Okay, I mean, you know, Biden has done a really good job turning the ship around. But number one, he's too old. And number two, it's not quite enough. People are still feeling this shit in a bunch of ways. The housing, you know, the groceries are still up. The gas is still alive. Yeah, they're coming down. And like I said last week, you know, if he was incompetent, they would stay the high rates that they were, or the same. They wouldn't be drastically coming down. You know, so he's doing all right there. But it's not going to be enough. They are their own worst enemy. They shoot themselves in the foot all the fucking time. So you sit there and you think to yourself, man, Jesus Christ, on one side, we got a bunch of arrogant, law-breaking assholes who want a dictator and don't give a shit about this country, the Constitution, the rule of law, or anything they claim to believe in. And on the other side, you got a bunch of dopes who I agree, and yes, and that's the right thing to do, but gee, look what you're doing. Look how you're stumbling over your foot, rumbling, bumbling, stumbling, all the fucking way, you know? Those are your two choices.
Judge McAfee used similar reasoning to dismiss charges that Trump and some of his co-defendants pressured public officials to call a special session of the state legislature and decertify the election results. The opinion impacts the cases against not just Trump, but also his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows, his one-time lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, and three other defendants.
Yeah, they're all going to get away with everything, folks, because, you know, Democrats are dumb. Trump was born under some kind of the luckiest fucking star that has ever lucky starred. And I don't know. I just don't understand it.
Judge gave prosecutors 6 months to decide whether they want to refile those dropped charges.
Right.
Addressing his
6 months from now, April, May, June, July, the middle of September, leaving him only a month and a half before the election. You see, everything too late, too little, too late, because you're dumb.
And that phone call with the Georgia Secretary of State will still play a key role in other parts of the case.
Good.
The former president, who had been facing 13 counts in Georgia, now faces 10, including the most serious one, racketeering. He's pleaded not guilty.
Yeah, racketeering. The coercion, I think, was the heaviest part, that phone call and everything. I hope it still plays a major role, but the fact that it's been diminished now, I can't believe how things work out for this guy.
The judge is now set to decide by Friday whether to disqualify the DA's, weighing whether her romantic relationship with a special prosecutor she hired for the case is enough to pose an actual conflict of interest or merely the appearance of one.
Oh, my God. I swear to God, if she gets fucking removed from this case and it just goes away, well, like I said, they're never going to be able to bring it to the end, to fruition, until after the election anyway. So it really doesn't matter. They all waited too long. But still, just to point out, just the absolute stupidity of a woman risking all of this so she could get fucked for a few months. That just disgusts me. Should it play in the part of any part of this case? No, I personally don't think so. I mean, what it didn't affect the way she investigated or anything like that. I mean, it's a non-issue as far as I'm concerned. But again, just to put herself in that position, just to make the conscious decision to do that, knowing if it came out, what could happen? She's a goddamn idiot. And all of these people that fucked up like this, if he does decide to, after he wins, if he does decide to stay in office and become the dictator that he wants to be, that's going to lie at their feet, a lot of them. Just like it will lie at the feet of people, Bernie or bust, you know, or never, whatever. You say the third party bullshit, which is just like flushing your vote down the toilet. If a third party candidate is, you know, scoring good in the primaries and in the final polls, fine. If it's a three-party race, fine. If it's not even close and you're getting 1% and you do that anyway, you are just giving that shit to Republicans, you stupid motherfuckers. So it'll be your fault, too, if we get the dictator that they want. Listen, Jon Stewart, just a part of his segment the other night.
We've had our fun dancing around the former president's rather eccentric interpretations of our country's founding document. May I offer you something more explicit?
I only want to be a dictator for one day.
Just so you know, that is how it starts.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anybody has to do the arm salute. Let's just start with a few people doing the arm salute, and we'll see if the arm salute catches on. Ignoring the Bill of Rights, tearing up the Constitution, pining for a brief stint as a dictator, well, that settles it. When the good, patriotic, Constitution-loving, real Americans hear Trump's disrespect and disdain for our sacred constitutional principles, they will be outraged.
I'd rather have Donald Trump as a dictator for 4 years. Absolutely.
This country needs a dictator. I hate to say that, but it's the truth.
Oh, my
God. Where are you guys dumb? You guys are so dumb.
Yeah, first of all, no dictator. What? These motherfuckers, they're like, they would have been the ones who stayed in Cuba under Castro, okay, or supported Hitler. What if the dictator was a Democrat? Huh? What if it was a liberal? And then you had to, then, oh my God, outrage. Are you kidding me? Because Hypocrisy Inc., you know, never even sniffs it coming out of their own assholes. All right, but yeah, as long as their dictator is in there, a dictator is okay. Why not? Because again, these fuckers don't think 10 seconds ahead. I mean, like I've been saying, by Trump's total immunity claim right now, Biden should order the execution of Trump and every other fucking subversive towards liberals. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Louis Gohmert, Lindsey Graham, Paul Gosar, Nancy Mace, fucking, you know, that nut from the other night. We see you. We hear you. And we feel you. With that demented smile on her face. What in the fuck is wrong with that bitch? But anyway, they want a dictator as long as it's theirs. And that has just got to be the dumbest way of American thinking in American history.
He could stand on the front steps of the White House and commit murder, and I'm with him.
You stupid fucking redneck.
Can you believe that? Stand on the front steps of the White House, and I'm with him. If he commits murder on the front steps of the... He's with him. These people are dirt stupid.
If he says it, then I'll go with it. And if he wants to be a dictator, then so be it.
Oh my.
This is it.
Yeah.
The Thomas Nast cartoon. Patriots festooned in American flags, co-signing dictatorship. Remember We the People? You know there's more words after that, right?
Yeah, yeah, right.
Smaller font, still binding. Look, if you want to love Trump, love him. Go to the rallies, buy the sneakers. You want to give him absolute power? You want him to be the leader uber alles? You want him to have the right of kings? You do you. But stop framing it as patriotism. Because the one thing you cannot say is that Donald Trump is following the tradition of the founders. He is advocating for complete and total presidential immunity. His words, not mine. That is monarchy shit. And it's your right to support it. But just do me a favor for historical accuracy. Next time you want to dress up at the rallies, wear the right f***ing colored coats.
Yeah. Yeah, a picture of the red coats. The red coats up there, huh? Because, yeah, it's basically the same goddamn thing. Yeah, can you believe what you hear? Americans advocating for a dictatorship. Like my Tom Cruise clip. I don't have it queued up, but I can't believe my fucking ears. You know, advocating for dictatorship. Dumbest of the dumb. Dumbest of the dumb. Conspiracy theorist, brainwashed motherfuckers. I just, I can't even believe these people can dress themselves.
And I tell you, you know, every once in a while I look upon my, I look into my enemies and what they're posting. I only have three. One of them, you know, personal thing in my life from way back when. But the other two, Damaged Goods and the Adorable Boy Podcast, the Adorable Pudcast. Hey, which finally did an episode after 6 months. Let's give him a round of applause for his millions and millions of followers that only exist in his head. You know, so he does two shows a year. Damaged Goods hasn't done a show in years, but I don't know. That guy, the host of that show, Terry Collins, I see him on X, and I look into this guy. Not only is he like the Adorable Pud, he's on Twitter, X, whatever, 20 hours a day now, but it's complete trolling. There is nothing of substance. He comes in, he goes to like all the liberal politicians' accounts or anybody who says anything in support of Democrats or Biden, just every other pud. Eat a dick. David Schwimmer meme. Get a load of this fucking retard. I mean, one after another. It's like he sits there from minute to minute just flooding, you know, X with shit like that. You know, someone ought to fuck your wife in front of you, he says to people. This guy is a complete nut job. He's a QAnon nut job who believes in every conspiracy theory. That's another thing he types over and over again. Trump 2024. Biden's a pedophile. You know, Hillary Clinton and her pedophile ring and all that shit. The guy has completely lost it. Yeah, I sit here and look at him one after another. Fuck off, commie. You know, go fuck yourself. I mean, it never ends. And I'm like, I don't know what this guy does for a living, but whatever it is, it's got to be suffering because he's on fucking this platform all day and all night doing this shit. Just like the Pud. The Pud likes to argue about the existence of God, though, with, you know, 10 different people every day, whether God exists or not. That's pretty much all he types about. You know, and he calls Biden supporters a cult, you know, because, again, projection, whatever. He says he doesn't like Trump, but he sure defends the hell out of him and cuts down fucking liberals whenever he can. So, well, I don't know. At least he finally did a show after 6 months. Oh, great show, where he talked about how he hates podcasts that go after the same people every week, you know, kind of like he does with Jim Cornette. I mean, you know, this guy is a fucking wrestling manager from the 80s or whatever, and this tool goes after him every week, but he hates people that attack the same people every week. It's so unaware of himself, this dork. But it's hilarious that they both of them they just sit there on Twitter 20 hours a day typing the same shit over and over again to different people. Again, no, you know, well, the Pud does have discussions if it's about religion or Karl Marx, you know, because he loves to talk about that guy for whatever reason. Terry from Damaged Goods, there's no substance there at all. It's just him slinging insults 20 hours a day. What a pathetic fucking existence. Pathetic. And that idiot still uses a Damaged Goods account and pays $20 a month to host a show that he hasn't done in 3 years. Him and that big, fat, stupid, booge co-host of his, I forgot his name.
Dwayne Perry. Marble Mouth Dwayne Perry. Oh, oh. He must be real upset that TikTok might be going away.
You know, because they spend their lives on that shit. That and X. So, always nice to see your enemies devolve into madness and complete stupidity. God. I can't believe for two seconds I ever thought of having that Terry idiot as a co-host on here. Little did I know just what amount of stupid resided in that brain of his. His poor daughter. And I would say his poor girlfriend to the Adorable Pud, but he just made up another one. So he's got another made-up girlfriend that they both agree with everything. They, him, agrees with himself and everything. It's fucking, I just, this cycle of idiocy is so fascinating. All right, a little entertainment before we wrap up. You know, watch the Oscars. I mean, pretty much lacking controversy or anything, which is, I don't know, what everybody watches for, but people seem to enjoy this year. I noticed there was a lot of dead air, and it didn't seem to flow that well, and I don't know, I did like, when the four major awards or the five major awards, you know, director, actor, actress, supporting, all that, they had five winners from the past, the previous one to present the award, and then four other ones from the past. And they all talked about
each actor that was nominated. I thought that was really cool. You know, that was innovative, and we've never seen that. And that was actually pretty cool. What I didn't like is, like last year, they used to go into commercial and come out of commercial with those classic clips. You know, just classic clips from classic movies, and that was really nostalgic, and that was really cool. And they didn't do that this year for some reason, which I didn't get. You know, I don't get the whole Ryan Gosling Ken thing. I don't Slash and Wolfgang Van Halen up there, which weigh about 1,000 pounds now between the two of them. You know, I just don't get the whole Ryan Gosling can't sing. That Barbie movie was pretty stupid. Without all the hype, I don't think anybody would have been talking about it at all. But anyway, Billie Eilish won for the song from Barbie. But, you know, Barbie was snubbed, which I understand, you know, because this wasn't a good movie. I mean, maybe set direction. The sets they could have won. I don't know if they did, but that would be the only thing I would think they would win on. But I tell you, I agreed with Cillian Murphy and then Oppenheimer, best actor. I was glad to see Robert Downey Jr. finally win his first Oscar, even though he was up against De Niro. I wanted De Niro to win one more, you know, at his age for Killers of the Flower Moon, which Lily Gladstone should have won. I mean, all the way up until this show, she had won Best Actress for at every award show leading up to it. And they give it to Emma Stone for that piece of shit fucking Poor Things movie. I just watched this the other day, folks. It was one of the dumbest fucking movies I've ever seen. I rate it up there with like Black Swan, you know, as far as just stupidity. The premise of this movie is some rich bitch who gets pregnant and hates her husband throws herself off a bridge. Some guy down there whose father was like Joseph Mengele and taught him to be like that grabs her body. You know, he takes her into his laboratory, Frankenstein style. And she was, like I said, she was pregnant. So he takes out her, cuts the back of her skull off, takes out her brain and inserts the brain of her unborn baby into her head. The electricity's going through. She opens her eyes. I was surprised he didn't go, "It's alive. It's alive." You know, he's got this cut up face because his father experimented on him. He's got chickens walking around his yard with dog heads and pig bodies with duck heads, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? Every plane, every ship look like some kind of steampunk invention. And she becomes she starts out as a baby acting like Nell from Jodie Foster from the 90s. And then, I don't know, she gets really smart, but she becomes a whore in the meantime. And there's tons of fuck scenes. I'm like, what? It was just a pile of steam and dog shit, if you fucking ask me. I can't believe it was nominated. I can't believe she won for Best Actress. They're just ridiculous to me. And I don't know what the fuck happened with Al Pacino at the end there. You know, I'm like, hey, they play the Godfather music. He comes out and he opens for Best Picture. And the winner is my IC. Oppenheimer. You know, nobody knew what I thought he was doing a joke as far as the screw up a couple years ago between Moonlight and La La Land or whatever. And the joke never landed and it was up and everybody was like paused for a couple of seconds like, okay, I guess we won. And they go up there. I'm like, Al, what the fuck are you doing? I'm not sure if he wasn't drunk because he sounded like he was slurring a couple words there. But anyway, kind of fucked up that delivery Al did. And I loved when Jimmy Kimmel read Trump's post from Truth Social at the end of the night, just insulting him. He's like, "Isn't it past your jail time?" Your jail time, which I thought was pretty clever. But yeah, Trump just can't help himself. Can't help himself, and the whole place, obviously, you know, liberal actors, most of them laughed. So that was kind of funny. But yeah, that Lily Gladstone thing really surprised me because it really was a great performance. And you figure all the Oscars so white and all that shit they go through, it would have been the first American Indian to ever win and all that. And like I said, she won all the awards leading up to it. So I do not understand why she did not win. These award shows, they always throw up. They're like the NFL. They do one really big, stupid thing every year. You know, the NFL with rules, the Oscars with awards. I don't know. It seems unavoidable. And I still haven't watched all the nominated movies for Best Picture this year. I got a little lazy. I haven't watched Maestro, which was written and directed and acted, by Bradley Cooper. He got pretty much, I don't think they won anything. You know, those other ones, that big fat black chick won for best supporting actress. I got to see that. Yeah. The Holdovers. I love Paul Giamatti. So I'll check that out. And, what was it in the,
In the Zone, or I forgot the name of it, the Nazi movie. I got to check that one out too. So I was a little slacking this year. I mean, I think Kimmel's a good host. When he was making the drug references to Robert Downey, I thought, oh man, he might get upset because Robert Downey did a thing to his nose, like on the nose. And Jimmy's like, is that a drug reference? He mentioned drugs like two times. Robert Downey hates that shit. I was like, wow. Gotta cross more lines every year. Every year we gotta cross more lines. So whatever. Anyway, I thought it was entertaining. It was a decent Oscars show. I love the Oscars. I can take or leave all the rest of them. The Grammys. Don't ever really watch the Tonys and stuff. But I always watch the Oscars. I just wish they would have done more classic scenes. That was probably my favorite part of the Oscars of all time is when they did that last year. So anyway. And one movie I want to talk about that wasn't nominated for anything, speaking of wrestling, the adorable Pud should like this segment. I watched wrestling back when it was you know, entertaining, and they had characters. I was a kid and also thought it was real for a long time. But, you know, the movie The Iron Claw, the story of the Von Erichs. Now, for those of you that don't know, the Von Erichs were like the Kennedys of early wrestling. They started out, I think it was like... The WCCW and the then they went to the AWA and the NWA, all that shit. And that's when I used to watch wrestling. I remember watching the Von Erichs. You had Kevin, and you had Kerry, and you had David, and you had Michael. And then that's when I stopped watching. I guess a younger brother came into the scene. But I'll tell you, that family, man, okay, the patriarch there, real tough Texas redneck, you know, his real name, their real last name is Adkisson. You know, not Atkinson, but Adkisson. It's not Von Erich. He chose that character back in like the 50s or 60s. He called himself Fritz Von Erich, and he played the part of a Nazi. You know, so he'd be the bad guy, the villain, every time he walked into he was in the 50s, you know, right after World War II. So he got booed all the time, and he was the first one, I think, to do the Iron Claw. You know, I know the Baron von Raschke, who was also German, did that later, but he did the Iron Claw, and, you know, he had all these kids, and they all went into wrestling, I'm sure, at his behest. I mean, this guy was kind of, he was a real prick. I mean, there was a scene in there, and he has admitted to this. Before he died, you know, that he ranked his children as his favorites. And the scene in the movie is like, now everybody knows my favorite's Kerry, then Kevin, then David, then Michael. But that can always change. You know, and I'm like, what the fuck kind of father are you saying that shit to your kids? You know, just constant competition between cutthroat competition. They loved each other. Okay, but, you know, pleasing their father. When you have a father like that, pleasing him is all you fucking think about. It's all you think about. So out of all the brothers, Kevin is the only one who is still alive. David died of, he went to Japan to wrestle and his intestines burst. A lot of people think he took too many pills, like he was on painkillers or whatever. Okay, so he died. Then let's see, Michael, he killed himself, overdosed. This one was on purpose. You know, he left a note and everything because he wasn't that big. And he couldn't perform up to his father's standards. And he separated his shoulder in a match. And he went into a coma. And he suffered from septic shock. And his brain wasn't even the same after that. And everybody saw it. And his father made him go back into the ring anyway. So he killed himself. Then Kerry, which I didn't even know this, okay. Kerry Von Erich was probably the most popular of all. He was the biggest. He was, they say, the best looking. I don't know, the guy's fucking weird looking. If you ask me, get the fucking horse face. But anyway, he was in a motorcycle accident and lost his foot. They had to amputate his ankle from the ankle down. And that was right before he went into the WWF, where he was the Texas Tornado, because that asshole Vince McMahon would not allow him to be called Kerry Von Erich or have any Von Erich thing, because that was another league or whatever. So he was the Texas Tornado, and he wrestled with a fucking prosthetic, and I had no idea, you know, and he kept it hidden from everybody. And then eventually he, you know, drove to his father's house, hugged him, went out a couple hundred yards from the house, and he killed himself, shot himself in the head. And then, you know, being the father that he is, the youngest Von Erich, who was born with a severe case of asthma, and his growth was stunted somehow. He was only 5'4",
Okay. And he didn't have a lot of athletic ability. And of course, I'm sure that didn't bode well with Fritz. And he killed himself. So you got three brothers killing themselves, one of them with a ruptured intestine. Nobody knows if he really killed himself or not. And then Kevin's the only one left. The most heartbreaking line of that movie, he goes, you know, I used to have five brothers, and now I'm not even a brother. And, you know, something else that's in the movie that, you know, if you just know him from wrestling, you wouldn't know. But also their very first child, you know, they say Kevin is the oldest of the wrestling brothers, but he wasn't the oldest. They had a son who, like, when he was around 5 years old or something, he stepped on an electrical wire or something near, because they always used to stay in the camper, you know, the trailer. And he stepped on an electrical wire, he got zapped, and he fell into the snow, and I guess he drowned in the snow because he was out from the electrical thing. So, you know, when you talk about this family and say they're like the Kennedys of wrestling, you ain't fucking kidding. I mean, that's five brothers out of six that either killed themselves or died tragically. You know, I mean,
fucking A.
Yeah, yeah. So that ain't cool if you're a parent. I mean, no matter how much of a jerk he was, I don't wish that on anybody, man. Fuck me. You know, the weirdest part of that movie was they had the casting. They had what's-his-name play Carrie. What's-his-name? Jeremy Allen White. He's a good actor. I saw him on Shameless when I watched that the first couple seasons before that started to suck. But that guy is only like 5'7", you know? And then Zac Efron was like 5'8". You know, the Von Erichs, Carrie was 6'3". You know, David was 6'8". You know, these guys were huge, and they played all these fucking short guys to play them in the movie. I was like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, Carrie Von Erich, way bigger than that. You know, I mean, David, yeah, they had him a lot taller, but the actor who played him was only like 6'3", 6'4", not 6'8". You know, David was a fucking monster, and he was the one, you know, Fritz wanted to be the champion. He kind of passed over Kevin. A couple of times he wanted David, then he wanted Carrie, and then you know, so Kevin had a rough go of it, you know, and he wasn't the best looking out of all of them either. So I don't know, they were all very different looking brothers. It's very strange. But the guy who played Fritz in the movie, he was also in a Fight Club, you know, in Death, a member of Project Mayhem has a name. You know, his name was whatever, I forgot the name. But that guy, he did pretty good playing Fritz. So it was a very entertaining movie. I just, you know, the casting was kind of weird for me, and they did kind of compress and screw with the timeline on a couple of events, you know, but it was a pretty good movie. So, yeah, I only get nostalgic with the old wrestlers. Well, like I said, when they had characters, when they all had a persona instead of just regular names and they're just regular guys. I mean, you know, I'd much rather see the Road Warriors, you know, the Legion of Doom, the Undertaker than Triple H or, you know, just guys with these fucking names like that. Kurt Angle. Well, what's exciting about that? There's no story behind it. There's no persona. Plus, I'm an adult now, so I wouldn't watch it anyway. Okay. But the adorable Pud, he loves wrestling to the point where he talks about Jim Cornette, even though he only does two shows a year now, every episode. So there you go. But Iron Claw, if you like old school wrestling, check that one out. All right, and Friday edit here. It looks like Fonnie Willis, that fucking idiot, will be able to stay on the case. But again, this whole thing took 2 months out of the calendar, you know, something like that. So again, by getting fucked, she fucked herself. So good job, Fonnie. Goddamn moron. All right, folks, we've come to the end of another one. Yeah, yeah, speaking of Hollywood and stuff like that, one of the only songs I love from Metallica after the Black Album, there's a couple here and there, you know. If they would have taken Load and Reload and Saint Anger and took all the shit out and combined it into one album that was, you know, produced well and everything, would have been a hell of an album, but they didn't. But the memory remains. That's about Hollywood actors and actresses that, you know, time, they fade away. They don't get the attention anymore. It hurts. You know, that happens with just about everything in life, though, man. It's not just actors and actresses. That happens with you, your job. Happens with you with your sexual prowess or performance, you know. Like when I was younger, I used to get chicks all the time. Can't get them anymore. I'm older. I'm out of shape. Unless you work out until you're fucking 70. You know, you get out of shape, especially if you drink a lot of beer like me. But the memory remains with those chicks. So anyway, I thought it was kind of relevant. Like I said, there's always a method to my stupid-ass madness. So Metallica, Memory Remains, and we'll see you all next week, folks. Later.
What the fuck was that you were listening to?
Fortune, babe, mirror, vain, gone insane, but the memory remains. Heavy rings on fingers wave, another star.
Da 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 da